The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Peace and infinite blessings to you, family. Thank you so much for joining. If this is your first time or you're returning to the Sexy Healers Squad Club, I can't remember what I said before, but thank you so much for joining the tribe, everybody. There is a heavy word that is on my mind, on my heart. I've been thinking about it and reflecting on it for a minute now, and so I'm going to take the plunge and record, and it's going to be hopefully not too long. I've been trying to work on the length of how much I speak, because I know not everyone has an hour, but this is just a word on the idea of refinement. When I think of refinement, I think of almost like a buffering process, a process of sort of carving and fine-tuning something into its most perfect form, for lack of a better word. And this is not a Google definition. This is just, I wanted this to be completely from my understanding of it. When we think about refinement in our own lives, I think it's something that for most of us, we are always in pursuit of that. But something that I do want to note is that refinement is a process, or is one part of a process of many processes. So what I'm trying to get at is that it takes a lot of steps to even get to the point of refinement. It takes a lot of steps to even realize that you are in a stage of needing to be refined. In my own personal view and experiences, it has started with a forming of something. And the first try or the first product is usually not the best. But you need to be able to be formed. And this is where your start is, your foundation story, your origin story, in the context of, you know, superheroes. It's the material with which you're given to build yourself in your life. And it's usually raw. It's usually rugged. It's usually rough around the edges. In fact, I would even go as far as to say that it always is, because I don't know anybody who has a perfect life, or who was born being the person that they were made to be, who's born being the best version of themselves. And if you do know them, please point them to me so that I can, you know, talk to them. But it's very rare for that to happen. But we are all given building materials in our lives, and we've talked about some of those on this podcast. We've talked about some of the difficulties that we may encounter in that beginning stage of being formed, right? But it's important that we build anyways, right? It's important to start somewhere and to never underestimate the importance of your foundation. It's become very clear to me, you know, as I grow and as I experience things in life, that your origin story, so to speak, your experiences, your failures, your mistakes, your traumas, they are what have the power to make or break you. And maybe if I just go a little bit more deeper and try to be more specific, it's what you do with it that matters. It's how you build with it that matters. I was recently watching a documentary about a man, and hold on, I'm just going to find out his name. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's Francis Carey, but I stand to be corrected. Okay, so I was correct. I just wanted to double check. So yes, his name is Francis Carey, and he is an African architect. And you know, you can do your own research, and I don't want to downplay his accomplishments or anything. I was just watching a documentary and stumbled across this man's incredible work. But essentially, he is an architect who believes in the power of communities building together, number one, and number two, the idea of building using African resources that are available to us. And his stance is that, you know, African architecture is failing us. When you think about all the informal settlements that we have, it's failing us because we're trying to build with a Eurocentric Eurocentric standard, which is, it's not inherently bad to have to be Eurocentric or have a Eurocentric standard, because it works in Europe. But his stance is that, why don't we as Africans build with what we have? So he builds with clay, and he has built some amazing structures and schools and communities all over Africa and the world. So, you know, you should definitely look into him. But it's just what really clicked to me in relation to that foundation that we have is that it is usually better to start with what you have than to not start at all and wait until you have what other people have. And it is usually better to work with the people who support you, who understand you, who are, in a sense, a real sense, rooting for you, than to rely on foreign aid, to rely on foreign help, to rely on foreign sources and people who you don't really know if they have your best interest at heart. And so I just want you to kind of think about the concept of building and the building of your life in that regard. Your foundation is the most important thing, because it is upon it which all things you're forming and working towards, and all the energy in your life is going towards. So when it comes to refinement, I think the first most important aspect of it is to acknowledge the path that has already been traveled. And by that I mean acknowledging the steps it took to form you and then mold you. And then finally, when you enter a season of refinement, whether it's in one area of your life or multiple areas of your life, then you have a foundation to build on. You see, the act of building with what you have and creating products throughout your life, and I'm speaking metaphorically here, but of building products throughout your life, as I said, it's usually not perfect the first time. But what that does is it instills a sense of confidence in you, in knowing that you have the ability to build, in knowing that even though it may not be perfect the first time, you've done it before, and so you've practiced you've practiced the art of refinement. Nothing is handed to anyone on a silver platter. And if anything, I think that destroys or even just the desire for that, if we constantly look back at our foundation and at our lives and at, you know, the mistakes that we've made, if we constantly look at those as mistakes, or if we constantly look back on those experiences and think to ourselves, I should have done this perfectly the first time. Many times that defeats the purpose, because it is in falling that we know what it means to get up. It is in falling that we know what it means to walk and to know how to walk and to be confident in our strides. So the first part of refinement, and if you are in a season of refinement in your life, that I just want you to reflect on for yourself, is just to acknowledge the path that has already been traveled and to acknowledge the steps that have come before in whatever area of your life it is that is being called to refinement. Understand the foundation, understand that you've been molded, and now understand that refinement, it's either the cutting up and the chiseling of a good foundation that you've built for yourself. But if the foundation is not good, if the foundation of your thinking is still in a deficit mentality, then I would really urge you to go back to that foundation. And no, that doesn't mean we can go back in time and change how things happened or now make things perfect. But if we could just go back in time and reflect on our foundations, our experiences, and how we allowed them to shape us or form us or mold us up until this point, if it's not something that you want to make even more of what it is, then I would urge you just to go back and reframe your thinking around the foundation. Because ultimately, as I said, it's what we do with what the things we have experienced and been through and even accomplished. It's what we do with it. So it may be a signal that you're not in a season of refinement. You might need to go back to that foundation and see if you can change your perspective around it, because ultimately that is what is going to mold you, so that when you do reach a stage now of refinement, you are refining a good thing. You are making something good even better, as opposed to trying to refine a shaky foundation into a polished structure. Doesn't work like that. And even if it does work, it more often than not tends to be a structure that doesn't hold up. It's no use looking good on the outside when your foundation is shaky. So that would be my first point, is to acknowledge the path that has already been traveled. My second point is going to be about surrender. The act of surrendering is monumental in a process of refinement, whatever the area of your life. To me, I will be personal and say surrendering has meant surrendering to the fear of the Lord, surrendering to the reality that I don't know it all, to the reality that I have a creator who has a heaven and a hell to put me in, and in maybe a weird kind of way, it has actually brought a lot of comfort. You see, I think too often we give ourselves too much credit for certain aspects of our lives. And it's been of great comfort for me to remember and sit in the comfort of knowing that I'm not in control of it all. I don't know all the answers. I can't just manifest an experience, positive or negative, out of thin air. Not that I don't believe in the power of belief, if I can say it that way, but resting in the comfort of knowing that it's bigger than me, right? So that's why sometimes there are just things that are going to happen in your life where you're going to do everything right according to the book and things are still not going to work out a particular way that you wanted to, right? I think there's been a lot of this idea that you can just click your finger and then you get this and you get that, and that's just not how life works. And the more that we try to fight against that higher force, and just being respectful and open to the fact that we all have different faiths, and you know, that's great, but for me it has been resting in the power of the Lord and just knowing that there is comfort there. There's only one creator, and anything that comes against me, I may be too weak. I may not be able to do it on my own. In fact, many things I have questioned my ability to power through. But guess what? I still made it. You still made it. You made it through that season that you didn't even know if you had the strength to face it, to conquer it. You didn't even realize that you were conquering it. Yet somehow you did. And I think that the sooner that we allow ourselves to surrender to that, the sooner that we can rest in our process of refinement, the sooner that the process of refinement can begin to take hold in our hearts and in our minds, in our actions, until it actualizes. There are some things that you just can't do on your own. You just can't manifest your way out of certain things. There's no way. There's no way. So I would encourage all of us, and one thing that has definitely helped me in the process of refinement in certain areas of my life has been surrendering to the fear of the Lord. And fear in that sense is very important. The fear is what allows us to humble ourselves, to not think that we can do everything, and in the process of that, destroying what was already done and what has already been done for us by our Creator. And so with that, I think that's how I would sum up the second point and the second way in which you can reflect whether you are in a season of refinement or not, whether it's time. Are you ready to surrender? Are you ready in this process of fixing and sculpting and chiseling? Are you ready to surrender to the fear of the Lord? And are you ready to surrender to a power that is greater than yours? All right, moving on to the third point on refinement, and something I just want us to reflect on is the idea that you are never wrong, but you're always learning. learning is something that I'm very interested in. The idea that you can be never wrong and always just learning. For someone like myself who, I don't know. I wouldn't really call myself a perfectionist, because I feel like saying you're a perfectionist implies that you think you're perfect, right? But definitely my personality type, maybe if you, I think, you know, you, I've been called that before, or, you know, I have been described as that, whatever the case may be. But having that kind of mindset, it's either you're wrong or you're right, and you're always trying to be right. But things started to change for me when I just considered to myself the idea that perhaps I wasn't wrong. Perhaps I was right at that time in the context of the situation. Perhaps what I thought was what I needed. Perhaps I needed to learn my own lesson. Perhaps I needed to fall. And it all goes back again to the concept of what you do with what has happened. If you get something wrong, if someone asks you a question, let's use an example, if someone asks you a question and you get it wrong, and then you go home and you read up on that topic a little bit more, and you try to give yourself some understanding, the next time a person asks you a question and you are able to answer correctly, does that make you wrong? Does your past experience negate what you have now learned, and that you now have the correct understanding? Not according to me, and I mean, I'm not God or anyone, but not according to me. And so I think we should allow ourselves more often to look at things in that way. Sometimes you're not wrong. Sometimes you were just learning. Sometimes, I think for me especially, I'm the kind of person who I need to see something for myself and really believe it. And I'm okay with falling more often these days. I think I've practiced my muscles in that area. I've become a little bit stronger, and I'm less afraid, because now I understand that I'm just learning, and that's what I've been doing this entire time, which is why it's a very important, pardon me, to stay humble in everything that you do, because the chances of you being wrong about something at any given point are very high. Or should I say, the chances of you learning at every moment are very high. So always be a student. The minute you prescribe yourself as some holier-than-thou, know-it-all, this is it, is usually the moment you realize that you know nothing. So have grace, have compassion for yourself. I know some of us, we might be going through periods of refinement where it's like you are, you know, maybe looking back on your foundations, as I said, and you're realizing certain things you did, and you, as you're learning more things, and you're just like, wow, you know, and you're beating yourself up. It's very easy to beat ourselves up. We all do it all the time. But it doesn't help, beloved. It doesn't help. That energy is wasted energy, because the reality is that it has passed. And if you are in a season of refinement, it's up to you to decide What are you going to do with it? Are you going to learn from the experience? Are you going to continue being quote unquote wrong? Or are you going to learn and finally ace that test? The next thing I want to talk about is the idea of active versus passive restoration. I guess you could say active versus passive refinement. I wrote restoration here in my notes, but restoration or refinement. It goes back to the idea of surrendering to the fear of the Lord. If you are in a season of refinement, you will realize that there are a lot of things that you have actually, or I should rather say, a lot of things that have sort of maybe removed themselves from your life. That's where passive restoration comes from. And that is the power of God. That is where the Lord takes the wheel and begins to do the work on you. You don't even have to lift a finger. You've just entered a stage in your life that has signaled that you're ready, almost like a chemical reaction, how it works, like a cascade of signals. And this might be in the form of people leaving your life, right? Have you ever noticed how there's just certain stages in your life where suddenly people start to leave your life? Could be the opposite. You might be experiencing the opposite. Maybe people are just suddenly starting to enter your life, a certain kind of person, a certain caliber of person entering your life. I mean, you didn't have to do anything. It happened so randomly, it happened so coincidentally. And the next thing you know, that person becomes a rock in your corner. That person becomes someone who is strengthening you in ways that you didn't even imagine. That is an example of passive restoration, where there is nothing you need to do. There's nothing you could have done to make that happen, right? Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's restoration or refinement. Sometimes it's in the form of you losing a job or you losing a position that you held dear to you, but you don't understand that a signal has been sent that it is time for you to be refined. It is time for you to be removed from that particular thing in your life and for you to move on to the next. That's the idea of passive refinement, and you have to welcome it into your life. I know that we're in the era of self-help, and it's very important to be active about your healing, about your life, and to be intentional about it, which I will get into the next part, which is active refinement or restoration. But it's also important to recognize what passive restoration and refinement looks like in our lives, so that we don't miss it, so that we don't try to fight it, right? If someone is, it seems like everything is pushing them out of your life, maybe it's just time for them to not be in your life anymore. Maybe it's time for you not to be in their lives anymore. Maybe they're being refined to something else that you just cannot be a part of. And it doesn't make you bad, it doesn't make them bad, but it's that passive refinement that works on our behalf. It's the power of surrendering to God and the fear of the Lord that allows us and allows that process to happen on its own without us needing to do anything. And then when it comes to active restoration or refinement, now, this is the hard part. This is the part where you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, you know what? Gained a little bit. I'm not liking how I feel. Maybe you don't like how you look. Maybe it's time for me to do something different. right? Something that I'll never like forget is this idea that it's in the little things. I think I was listening to Jordan Peterson. Yes, it was Jordan Peterson who said it. I just can't remember if it was a podcast or a video or what, but just this idea that it's the little things, it's the habits that you do that actually form up your life. So, you know, it's not that one huge meal that you eat that makes you fat, which is what a lot of us think. It's the everyday snacking, or it's the everyday drinking, right? Like the fizzy drinks or whatever the case may be. You understand what I'm saying? In the same aspect, it's not just eating a salad one day that's going to change what your body looks like, or, you know, whatever the case. It's the little steps. It's every day filling your body with something nutritious, something that is alive, preferably, right? It's every day working just a little, you know? Maybe it's a walk, maybe it's a jog, you know? It's the little actions that build up to that final change that we seek. An active refinement is very important because it works in symbiosis with that, the passive restoration, right? So you can't expect the Lord to do everything for you, but you also have to put in that work. It might be different things. It might look like, do I really need to go to the club every weekend? I mean, that's just me, and that's just a personal view. I haven't been to like a club or anything like that in almost a year, right? It's the little things. It's asking yourself, well, how do I really feel when I drink? Like, ask yourself. I mean, really, really ask yourself. It's the little things that you do. Really ask yourself, is it worth it? Is the accumulation of this action and what it brings worth it? Is it refining me? Or is it just messing it up? I know for all of my artists there's always that stage whenever you're creating something. There's always a stage where it's almost right. It's just almost right. And sometimes you think, okay, I just need a few touches of this color and this few dabbles. And before you know it, you've mucked up the entire painting because what you were doing was not refining. So it's always important to reflect on that active refinement. It cannot happen without you. Your life requires you to change. It requires you to be better. It requires you to learn. It requires you to take those steps that are necessary. As the saying goes, you can bring a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. So your God, your creator, can bring you, can make it so easy for you to change. But if you don't make those steps, if you don't reevaluate how it is you spend to choose your life, or how it is you choose to spend your life, then unfortunately you're not in a season of refinement, or you're not ready for the process of refinement yet. And I would really urge you to just reflect on those everyday actions in the context of active refinement, and think about the things that you are actively doing and whether they are refining you or whether they're mucking you up, whether they're making the path messy, whether they're making things harder for you. The final thing I want to discuss is just a word of encouragement, perhaps, which is just in the process of refinement, it's very important to be an idealist and to keep up the good fight. I've been just telling myself whenever I face difficult situations or emotions, just, you know, woman up. For me, that, you know, that's what I'm using, but you can use anything you want, whatever resonates to you. But woman up, right? You know, woman up. And the past is the past, you know, at the end of the day. It's what you do with it. It's what you're doing now. And the future is yet to unfold. So in a time of refinement, it's especially important, I would say, to keep that good faith and to really strengthen yourself more than anything, and to look forward and look up always. You know, if you're looking down and you're looking behind you, then unfortunately you're not in a process of refinement, or you're not yet ready for refinement. Refinement requires you to focus on the work at hand, because at any moment you might trip off too much. Think of it as if you're, you know, building a sculpture, right? If someone builds a sculpture, now they're at the process of chiseling it. If they're not focused on that sculpture, and if they're not focused on the vision, and if they're not focused on continuously keeping the good faith on that work, if you're not focused on that, if you look away, you might just chisel off too much. Before you know it, you've ruined it. Right? So don't lose focus. Look up, look forward, dignify yourself. You deserve it. Your past is not, it's not where it ends. Only where it begins. And with that is my word on refinement, you guys. I hope that this was helpful to you. As always, stay blessed. Follow on Instagram at awwgoogoo. I'm rarely actually on social media, if I'm being honest, but I do pop in there from time to time. So more than anything, I just hope that this was helpful to somebody. It was really heavy on my mind to discuss this. It's been something that I've been reflecting on for a while, as I've said, and I hope that it can be a helping word for anyone in a stage of refinement, in a season of refinement. Keep the good fight up and don't lose sight of the vision. I will talk to you guys next time on A Word with Guguletu.